Blog Talk Radio.
Okay, there we go. Hey, this is Ken Holloway. Welcome to the Ken Holloway Show. Looks like we're having some technical problems right at the top of the hour here, but let's move past that, shall we? Hey, today is March 7th. I want to welcome you to the show. And I have a special guest lined up for tonight. So for those of you who haven't caught the show notes yet, we have a great guy coming into the studio. And, without any further ado, let's just welcome the man, the myth, the legend, the one and only Mitch Creighton. Are you there, Mitch?
I am. Hello.
Hey, hello. Welcome. Thanks for joining us tonight.
My pleasure.
Hey, awesome. Now, for those of you that aren't familiar with Mitch, I want to tell you, I wrote him up in the show notes. I met the man several times. He's an awesome guy. And, not only is he great as a speaker and a writer, a coach, a mentor, and everything, but he also has his own travel agency, and indeed he is a world traveler. So, Mitch, let me open the microphone to you there and tell us about your traveling background and why you opened your travel agency.
Well, thank you very much, Ken. I have been traveling the world for pretty much my entire adult life. Are you there?
Yes, I am here.
Oh, okay. Somehow or another, I got an error that showed up.
Been traveling around the world.
Ah, okay. Well, hopefully we can resolve them. But I have been traveling most of my adult life. I have, I have visited most of the countries that you can get to by ocean vessel. I have ridden on river cruises. I have taken escorted tours. I have taken myself on adventure journeys throughout North America, Europe, Central and South America. And it's just a ton of fun to explore the world, meet new people, taste new foods, and just get out of yourself for a while and realize how great we have it in this country by having contrast. So I think travel is one of those things where I'm proud to say I help people write new stories in their lives as they go around and they visit with different cultures, as they travel by cruise ship, by airplane, by rail. They experience things they don't see in their ordinary lives. And to me, just like at the end of every day you need sleep to reset your counter, you need travel at least once a year to reset your perspective on how you live. So by becoming a person that is an agent in travel, helping people design and book the travels that they've been wanting to see forever, it gives me great satisfaction. It's really a passion of mine to make sure that people get the travel that they want and deserve. You there, Ken? Ken?
Blog Talk Radio. Welcome to Blog Talk Radio. Please hold and you'll be able to listen to the show.
Ken, this is Mitch. Hello there. Well, hi, everybody. This is Mitch Creighton. I don't know whether I'm on the air or not. Ken, are you with me? Hello, Ken. This is Mitch. Ken, are you there? Ken, this is Mitch. Are you there? Don't we love technology, ladies and gentlemen? I hear you.
Okay, Mitch.
Are you there?
I'm here. I called in on the
landline. You're very faint to me, but I hear you nonetheless. Are you there still?
Yes, I'm still here.
Can you hear me okay?
I can hear you just great. You're great.
Oh, well, now you've just come on loud and strong. So, nay, I think we're back up and running.
Yeah, I think our problem tonight is a weak internet connection, and don't know what to say about that. But can you hear me?
Now you're coming through loud and clear.
All right, great. So I heard your opening bit, and then as soon as I started to talk, we lost our connection. So, what I was starting to say is, for the benefit of people who've tried to plan their own vacation and it just went to hell in a handbasket, what advice do you have for our listeners about the service you provide?
Well, you know, everybody wants to be informed. And so the internet, just like every major library or newspaper or magazine before it, allows us to become very well informed, and it allows us to research and get an idea of what's available and how much things are going to cost. And then you have this realization that I need to coordinate all this to make it into one cohesive travel package. And if you're just booking an airfare going from one city to another or taking a hotel for a few nights on your own, There's no problem in booking this on your own, either online or directly through the facility. But if you're trying to customize the itinerary to the point where you say, hey, I like museums and I'd like to get myself access to all the museums in the city I'm visiting, and I'd like to know that when I arrive at the airport, there's going to be somebody there to pick me up. I don't have to worry about waiting forever or dealing with foreign languages and foreign currency. The way like myself is really an advantage, because we're all about listening to what it is that you like to do, listening to hear what experience you've had that you don't want to repeat, and then going ahead and designing that. So we're part architect, we're part curator. And when all is said and done, my role, once I've listened to you and I've heard you tell me what you really are looking for, is to go ahead and source all the little things that are going to make a trip go from just okay to incredible. And I always say to my travelers, I know you have done a fantastic holiday when you come back to me and you start to story after story after story. I went here, oh, it was the most incredible place, and I ate here, and oh my gosh, the food was wonderful. If I hear that kind of story, I know that we've hit a home run together. And so working with a fellow like myself, there are resources that are publicly available, and there always have been brochures and magazines and all kinds of places. But understanding that a professional in the business, I have access to information that the typical person doesn't and can't. So while you may think you're getting an accurate representation by looking at things, unfortunately, it's not always accurate, and it can be very frustrating trying to find somebody that you can talk to that knows what they're talking about and can book it for you the right way the first time. So a travel agent and a travel planner, a travel advisor, we're in the business of making sure that you and your busy life take the time out you want for the holiday you want without having to worry about gluing all the pieces together. And so we want you to just go and have a trip and know that everything is handled and everything is going to be just fine. So that's what the distinction is. And Creighton Travel is a full-service travel agency. We work with individuals. We work with groups, families. I'm a group specialist, as a matter of fact, and we can talk about that if you like. But the idea is that I'm certified by every cruise line, by every tour operator, by most of the hotel chains in the world. They know who I am. I know who they are. I have access to people that you couldn't get if you tried to go online, because we're talking industry to industry. And so if somebody's having a birthday or an anniversary, somebody wants to make sure that their room is no higher than the fourth floor, if they've got any kind of mobility issues or food questions, trying to get all that handled on your own is a bit daunting. But that's what we do. That's what travel advisors do. And that's what I've been happily doing for a long time. Yeah, I mean, planning a trip is sort of like financial planning and retirement planning. The concept sounds very easy until you go to execute and you realize, oh, all of these, there's a million little puzzle pieces in here to make this come out the way that I want it. And then I try to coordinate my timing and I realize, oh, well, this is overlapping with that thing and that's overlapping with this thing. It's difficult. It's engineering. And it, for me, it's fun because I have all the resources and I love to do it. And the planning part for me is really the most exciting part, because I get to listen to people's bucket lists and I make them come true. But oftentimes, when you're trying to do something complicated, you either have to have the mindset that I accept that things are going to go kerfluffle every once in a while and you're willing to have some downtime, or you really want to know that there's somebody I can contact who's a responsible professional who can make sure that all these pieces glue together and are coordinated in the proper amount of time, and I have people I can reach out to in case something doesn't happen.
Okay. Hey, why don't you share with us a couple of examples of some people that are really happy with their bucket list itinerary? Anything come to mind?
I had somebody that's been wanting to go to New York for a long time. And this is a business executive.
I'm sorry to share with you.
Oh, good. Well, so they're busy business owners, and they're doing okay, and they had only 4 days to visit Manhattan. And
okay.
So, well, but I don't think on your list you wanted to see a Broadway show, eat at a fine dining house, visit the World Trade Center about the same week that the museum opened, go through Central Park, on and on and on. I don't think you had the opportunity to do that. Well, anyway, they had a very short window of time, and I was able to work with one of my colleagues in New York to put together an itinerary that just hit all of the things they wanted to do and got them into a brand new Broadway play right up front where they had asked to be, and got them into a restaurant that normally takes 6 months to get a reservation. And I got them a car and driver so they didn't have to worry about taking taxis or getting around Manhattan and getting lost. So in their time, everything just happened like clockwork. They had some free time. They ate and saw and did things that the typical person probably would have taken 2 weeks to do. Now, you know, that was a premium vacation. It was not backpacking by any means, but that was very satisfactory to this bucket list client. And another one that was celebrating an anniversary, or actually it was a birthday, and they wanted family to come in from all over. And so this was in San Antonio, and I got them a beautiful Riverwalk view room. And across the river, just over the bridge, was a Mexican restaurant that just happened to have dining facilities. And so we were able to have some people drink. Yeah, so you know. And so, yeah. And it was good food, and they had a great time, a great celebration. And, you know, I got parking for the people that lived in Texas, and I got breakfast for the people that were coming in. And, oh, by the way, I got this wonderful birthday celebration for the birthday boy. So those are things you don't find online. And that's to me, when somebody says, I want to have a really great celebration, and I've got all of these pieces from all over the place. One of the things that we did, we had a family reunion, and they wanted to go on a cruise, and they had people coming in from 6 countries. And so we had to coordinate everybody's transfer into Fort Lauderdale so that they could get on the cruise. And we had to rent or set aside, I should say, certain rooms because they had private birthday parties. They wanted to have a private celebration. And there was one of the ladies on board, it was her 80th birthday, and they had a new baby. So it was the whole family reunion and family celebration. It was 127 people. And coordinating all of that gave us great pleasure. And it was they had a printed souvenir book that they created, and they dedicated a page of that saying, hey, this couldn't have happened without your care and your coordination. So those are the kinds of things that I pride us in doing. And the other thing is I'm working with a national association right now. They're here in the Denver, Colorado area, and they wanted to bring back a historical tour of the Rocky Mountains. And this is something that was done back in the 1920s. And so because we have the celebration of the national parks this year, and Estes Park is celebrating its 100th birthday next year, they wanted to have a bus tour that would take people from DIA, have them stay at a fine hotel downtown, have some historical walking tours downtown, including the Molly Brown House, because next year is also the anniversary of the passage of the 19th Amendment, women's right to vote. Then take a coach up to Estes Park and Rocky Mountain National Park and get some more historical insights. Then they wanted everybody to either split up and go in four-wheel drive Jeeps up Fall River Road to get to Grand Lake, or they can't handle the roughness of that terrain, continue to take the coach and meet them at Grand Lake, and again, get a lake tour, come back around. Well, as you can imagine, there's no brochure that has this tour. And you're dealing with smaller hotels and you're dealing with smaller coaches. The bottom line is I was able to do it, and we're in negotiation now for 2017, and they're very, very happy. Yeah. So
I've recently heard that Estes Park is a beautiful downtown to go visit. I've not been up there yet.
Estes Park is the gateway to Rocky Mountain National Park, and so it was formed Yeah, it was formed the year after Rocky Mountain National Park, I believe. I'm not 100% sure on the history. One of the people who are working to coordinate this wrote, it looked to me like a 300-page book about the history of the Rockies and early Colorado. And so I'm waiting to get my hands on a copy of that book. But she's one of the people that's going to be on this tour. And Estes Park is a beautiful place to visit. And they've got a lake, and they've got golf, and they've got, obviously, the Stanley Hotel, which is, pretty famous for, here's Johnny.
Oh, I've not heard about it. Oh, is that it? Yeah.
So a beautiful place to be, and then from there you can easily take a day trip into Rocky Mountain National Park. So we're kind of blessed here in Denver to have an awful lot of beautiful places to see with very close proximity to our downtown area.
Awesome. I got to tell you my New York story real quick before I forget.
Please do.
We're planning a trip to New York City, first time, first and only time, in fact. And we were staying in New Jersey, and let's see, we drove up to the Staten Island Ferry, and I wanted to land on Manhattan. So, hey, we started off just like we planned, got to see the Statue of Liberty, and, put in the dock, right? And then the plan was to see as much as we could in 2 days, Saturday and Sunday.
Okay.
And we did the whole thing on foot, and it was kind of like... to hear you laughing. It's kind of like the culinary side of it, the restaurants and so forth. And now, I will admit that we did get to see several of the sites that we wanted, like the Empire State Building, and we went to Central Park. We went to Chelsea Market, where the Food Network studios are at. So we did,
sure.
we did get in the important stuff. We went to that... the Shake Shack.
Oh, the Shake Shack.
New York's version of In-N-Out Burger.
Absolutely.
Anyway, so we got a lot done, but most of, and I planned this all myself, and most of the plans we made did not work out, and most of the food things we had lined up didn't turn out very well. We didn't make it to any museums, and we're lucky to find a place to park on Sunday. And so I'm just saying, it's not for the faint of heart. And I spent a lot of time trying to figure out what was there, how much I could see, how much we couldn't see, and so on and so forth. We went to Rockefeller Plaza, but we missed a lot, too, and including all the museums. So, you can only see so much in 2 days.
Well, you can, and you probably don't even know this, but I could have gotten you VIP access to any of the museums that you wanted to, and that's something that I have as a person in the world of travel that you wouldn't know about. Yeah,
okay.
And now let's just look at your example, and let's make it a little more complicated.
I tried
let's
to forget
say that,
about it, but yeah.
Well, but let's say that instead of going to New York, where some people think they still speak English, you instead were going to Germany, or you were going to Vietnam, or you were going to go to South America. You don't speak the language. You don't understand the currency. You don't understand the culture. You can't read the signs or the transit system. You don't know, do I tip, don't I tip? What is the phone system like? So now every frustration that you experienced right here in the United States gets compounded by a great amount, plus you're in different time zones. And you don't even know how to ask somebody for help. So I don't mind being an adventurer. Let's just say that if you have the temperament for backpacking and letting things go as they are, more power to you. That's a very valid form of travel, adventure travel and just wandering around. That's really great. Most people that I know, especially people that are, middle age and beyond, they tend to want to get as much in as they can within the limitations of their physical and energy abilities. And so that's why you work with a travel advisor. The travel advisor will understand, you want to have 2 hours in the middle of the day for yourselves to just relax and watch the people walking by and, catch up on your breath and recuperate a little bit. Or maybe you want to go back to your hotel and take a nap. maybe there's something that you really, really wanted to do about making a phone call to somebody. All of those things can be prearranged if you just discuss it up front. And then I have people on the ground in Germany, in South America, you know, all over the world that are my fellow colleagues, and they speak both English and the local tongue, so that if you ever really got stuck, there's somebody there that you can contact that can help bail you out.
Yeah. I know, like in Argentina, there's like four currencies. There's like the black rate, the blue rate, the market rate, and they all trade at different values, right?
Well, not only that, but how
driver,
do you pay
yeah.
for it? If you pay for it in U.S. dollars, are you getting the fair exchange?
Exactly.
And do you want to buy it there and hope that you're getting the fair money? Or maybe you want to know it's been paid, and in your hand is this paid voucher that says I have access to this museum or this architectural site or this particular show, knowing in advance it's already been handled. You don't have to worry about surprises opening up your credit card bill and going, oh my gosh, what are all these fees? So, you know, that's part of travel too. It's not just the going. You come back and you don't want any surprises. That takes the bloom off of the rose. So that's part of what planning is all about, Ken. It's covering everything from beginning through the return.
Okay. Couple questions.
Sure.
I study Bob Proctor and the Law of Attraction and his work.
Yes.
I really like it a lot. And one of the things that Bob Proctor tells everybody, and I have to repeat his advice because it works for me, is if someone says, hey, I've got this dream, I've always wanted to go to Paris, or I've always wanted to go to Hawaii, or something like that, right? Say that, do it. Get on the phone right now, book the trip. Don't worry
That's
about
right.
how you're going to pay for it. When the time's right, it's going to come together. So
That's
what do you say to
absolutely
that?
Absolutely correct. Well, see, here's the thing. Time Magazine just recently had, I think it was the January edition, talked about the fact that 40% of Americans took their vacation that they had already earned. 60% of the people banked it for another time. And I even met some people that were so proud that they've got 10, 12, 14 weeks of banked vacation. And I say a little sarcastically, what are you saving it for, the ER? Because the whole idea of taking a vacation is to recharge. Your company wants you to leave. They want you to take the break, stop the routine, refresh your mind, get some perspective, some fresh air. Don't do the same thing that you've done all the time. And they want you to get out of town. They don't want you to be sitting around watching television. That's not a vacation. They want you to go out and experience the world. When you come back, you're so energized. You're so full of wonderful stories. You're so happy when you come back from a great trip. It keeps you going for several months beyond when you come back. And so what I say is this, and I'll share this story with you. I was married for 44 years, and my wife just suddenly passed away. Yeah, but my wife just suddenly passed away. And we had put together some bucket list itineraries that she will never get to go on. Now, I have to say I'm very fortunate. We did get the tour together a lot. But there were some places that she wanted to go and I wanted to go with her that she will never get to go. And, you know, we always had something getting in the way. There was a wedding. There was a parent that needed help, and we had to be there for them. I still don't have any children, but some people will say, oh, my child is going to college, or my child is getting married, or my child has a medical problem. And you can find every which way to come up with a reason why you have to sacrifice in your life and not take a vacation.
That's true.
And I'm telling everybody, this is my little mantra here, make memories, not regrets. I'm getting up there in the world where I realize people who are getting on in their years, they either become very grateful and start telling stories of all the fun places they've been and the stories of the people they got to meet, or they get very bitter and very resentful. I coulda, I shoulda, I wish I hadda. And I'm here to say, okay, stop it. Go book it. Bob Proctor is absolutely right. Just go and enjoy. Because you will never know. It is wonderful observation. You don't know. Tomorrow you're going to have some illness you didn't anticipate. You're going to fall off a ladder and break your leg, and they're going to incapacitate you. Stuff like this happens all the time. If you've got your health, if you've got your mobility, if you've got some money, if you've got the desire, go and do it. Because I'll tell you this, it's always wonderful to tell people about the places you've been and the people that you've met, rather than the regret of, oh, I never did that. My nose was in the grindstone, and all I did for work was make a lot of money, and I just worked, and I put in 14-hour days. And I say to people, well, why are you making a lot of money if it isn't to give yourself some pleasure out of your life? What's the point of it all? So, you know, I'm not saying you have to go on grand vacations every year. You can certainly go to the mountains for a weekend retreat. You can go to an amusement park for a couple of days. That's not a problem. But every once in a while, this movie, The Bucket List, came out, and it was so fun because there were these two guys checking off boxes of the places they wanted to see and the places they had never been before they died. And so they were jumping out of airplanes, and they were going to the top of mountains, and they said, "The heck with it! If I leave this earth, having money doesn't do me any good. So let's go." mm-hmm. So that's what I'm trying to encourage everybody while they have the means to do it. Now I have clients that will tell me, "But I don't have it now. It's just, you know, what do I?" And I tell them, here's my, and I'm going to give you this and the listeners just a quick thing. Here's what you do. Number one, figure out where you want to go. Number two, open up your calendar to 2 years or 3 years down the line and pick out a week or 2 weeks. Just X it out. Then go to your local financial institution and start putting away X dollars. Doesn't matter how much it is. Even if it's $100 a month. In 3 years, that's $3,600. You can go a lot of places for $3,600.
Sure.
And it's a whole lot better if, let's say, that you choose to go someplace in 3 years and it's $5,000. Well, 3 years from now, it might be just easier to come up with a little bit over $1,000 to pay for the trip than to say, where am I going to get $5,000?
Yeah, speaking of the planning. Oh, go ahead.
Yeah. Yeah, so, I mean, that's my whole thing here. Plan for it, and then let me know where you want to go. I can keep my eyes and ears open for the best value for something that's exactly what you're looking for.
I was just going to ask you, speaking of planning and value, is with all the different, the four corners of the world, there must be different times of the year that are better and worse. You know, like some families, yeah, they want to travel with their children, so it's got to be during the summer. But other people, you know, they could travel in May or April or, you know, September, October. So you're
well,
in a position
there's
where you can help people save money by booking their traveling during the time of the year. It's like that it's not off-season, but it's still attractive.
Right. There's basically four seasons in travel. You have high season, which is when the most people are available and they can go. You have the opposite of that, which is off-season, and that's when fewest people want to go. Maybe the weather is a little bit rougher at that time, or some of the festivals and so forth, they don't, you know, they're not there. And then the other two are called shoulder season, so they're in between. And the shoulder season still has good enough weather, and most of the things are still operating, but fewer people are going. So when you have it's supply and demand, when fewer people are going, the prices go down. So if you want to go see the Louvre Museum, it's the same museum. And it doesn't matter whether it's raining outside. If visiting the Louvre Museum is what you want to do, fly to Paris in the wintertime. And I was in Paris for Christmas, and I have to tell you, it was one of the most charming things I'd ever been. It was snowing. No, it wasn't this last Christmas. It was a while back, but there was snow on the mansard roofs. I took a cruise down the Seine. And each one of the little cruise ships have these heaters that just heat up the inside of these boats. So you could cruise and go up and down, and at that time of year, the Eiffel Tower is lit up literally like a Christmas tree. It was so glorious, and no tourism. You're going to see the Cathedral de Notre Dame, no lines. So I would just tell you that there's no bad time to go to a Western country. If you're going to countries that are less developed, where they don't have sidewalks and sewers, being in a place that has a lot of rain at that time, or snow, or wind, it's a little more challenging.
So there's never a bad time to go to Paris, but there are times of the year when it's less expensive.
Well, is there a bad time to go visit Denver?
No.
Yeah, I mean, you're going to find the summertime in Denver is beautiful, the wintertime in Denver is beautiful. Different elements
it's
are going.
Are going.
Yeah, and it's the same thing. It's the same thing in London. It's the same thing in Paris. It's the same thing in Rome. All of the major Western cities have people that live there all day and all night. So actually going there when it's not a lot of tourism, you'll find people will sit down with you and have a glass of wine and they'll talk because it's not so hectic. And you get to meet people at a lot friendlier level oftentimes than if it is in the middle of season because, you know, cruise ships empty out. There's 4,000 people want to go to Venice. And boom, before you know it, the place is overwhelmed. 3 hours later, everybody goes back on the ship and it looks like a ghost town. So
I've seen that, like at a freeway side diner, the bus pulls in, boom, it's packed, and then boom, it's empty.
Exactly right.
Yeah, I used to live in Hawaii. I used to hang out at the beach all the time, and I'm telling you, Mitch, there was never a day that a tour bus didn't pull up, and a whole bunch of people file out, stand around, stretch their legs, take some pictures, and get back on the bus and go down the beach to the next.
Yeah, and is that really being in Hawaii,
like it,
or is that that's exactly. Being a photographer, but that's not spending any time in Hawaii soaking up the rays.
I know. And so I learned at a young age, it's like, I don't want to do that. I don't want to play tourist, you know. But
you know, for some people, they bought a camera, and that's all they want to do is they want to take big old picture books of wherever they've been. And that's okay. I mean, most people going to safaris in Africa are now, you know, the big game with their camera. And the whole idea is that you want to get the big five animals in there and put that picture on your wall instead of mounting the head of the prey on your den wall. You have a beautiful photograph that you took of the lion or of the rhino. And, you know, that's perfectly fine. So, I don't mind it. But, you know, also, if you stayed in a tent and you realize at nighttime the little critters don't go away, it's not an amusement park, that's a life's experience too.
Yep. Have you been on safari?
I have not. That's one of my bucket list items.
Oh.
A dear friend of mine was in Africa and she came back and she was just raving about it. But, you know, obviously at night there's no street lights and you want to stay where you've got security because you never know when an animal is going to be roaming around. So that's part of the thrill of it, right?
Yeah. I have a friend that goes on safari every year, and you know, he's collecting all the big game. And he says they treat him like royalty when he goes. You know, they set up your tents, they make your food, they take you where you need to go. They help you hunt. They do everything. They clean your rifle, everything.
The whole thing about travel is that there are different tiers of class. Not meaning that it's social class as so much you're going
like first class versus coach, right?
Yeah, exactly. So you can take a safari where you're pitching tent, or you can go to a pre-built tent camp. Many of them now have their own inside bathroom. Some of them used to have outside bathrooms. Or you can find a safari camp that has permanent structures made out of adobe. Or you can find a hotel. They're all different classes, all different stratas of pampering versus adventure. You know, you're going to get the dust in the nostrils any which way, because to get anywhere, you're not going to see it in your room. You've got to get in a Jeep and go out and be with the animals. So, and then it's a difference of whether you're going to go to someplace like Kruger Park, which is the national park for, you know, that everybody wants to see, or you go to a private reserve where they're doing preservation of the animals. They're counting and tagging the animals. They're checking their health. And yep. So on the private reserves, fewer people, more animals, more money.
Yep.
So it's just a matter of what's in your budget, what's more important to you. Is it just getting there, or is it getting there with style, or is it getting there and not really knowing what's going to happen from one day to the next? All of those travel styles are perfectly legitimate, but you don't find that, you don't really find that explained anywhere when you go look them up online. It just says, here's a camp. It doesn't really tell you what's included. It doesn't really tell you what's critical to be included and what's not.
Well, I was just going to ask that. Oh, go ahead.
Well, so ask.
Oh, okay. Well, no, I was just going to ask, you know, like for me, I would hate to go somewhere and miss something important. And I've done it, so I've learned it the hard way. So it's like a person could get online to buy a guidebook, whatever. They could book their own stuff. But would you say that with the benefit of a travel professional like you, depending on where they want to go and stuff, that you can make sure that they saw the most important stuff that they might miss if they plan to buy themselves?
I would say absolutely correctly, because I would be confirming with people that are currently there. And so let's say that you wanted, we'll go back to Paris, you wanted to go visit the Louvre. And the day that you were going to be there is the day they were closed for repairs.
Okay.
Wouldn't have been a good call. The Great Migration, everybody who is interested in going to Africa might want to go to the Great Migration. You don't want to go 2 weeks after the migration is over.
Yeah.
That would be a bummer.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
And you can't, you know, animals are programmed, but they're not programmed like a computer. So it's not a perfect thing. You have to know, well, what's going on at what time. And so everything has to do with understanding what you want to see and what memory you want to bring back as to how you book what you do. And the internet doesn't ask you questions. The internet takes orders. And so that's fine. I listen and I ask questions and I want to know, you know, do you need insulin and therefore do you need a refrigeration system to keep your insulin cold?
Yeah.
Oh, well, okay. You're going to be in the middle of a forest or in the middle of a jungle. That's a good question. So those are not readily available answers. You have to be with people that can tell you. A lot of what we have here with the Americans for Disability Act, it's a wonderful thing and it makes visiting things in the United States wonderful. But even if you cross the borders to Canada and Mexico, they're not bound by our laws. And it's even more challenging when you go to places in Europe or Asia where these are ancient sites and they're not going to put in elevators and ramps. They're
uh-huh.
going to leave it native. And you get to an Angkor Wat or you get to a place like a Taj Mahal and there's no place for a wheelchair to go.
Yeah.
So that's something you have to know before you plunk down your money.
Okay. Well, like one example, because, you know, we keep touching on Paris. Have you been into the Paris Opera House?
Yeah.
Well, now, see, I'm not into opera myself. And I could see myself going all the way to Paris and have a blast and never set foot in the Paris Opera House and never feel like I missed anything, right? But I've seen photos of the inside of that thing. It's amazing. It's utterly breathtaking. I just can't believe how beautiful it is. And I can't believe I would have missed it if I didn't know about it.
Well, exactly. And you would not know whether or not it was open or it maybe there was a private party inside and they were no longer letting that day they weren't letting people take a view. Now, the building is accessible because it's right there in the middle of Paris to see from the outside. But if you want an inside tour, yeah, you definitely have to have it properly scheduled. Same thing out of town where you go to the Palais Versailles. There's so much of that particular estate to see. And sometimes you don't realize, well, Marie Antoinette built a little tiny city for her playtime, and you got to go out there and see that little cottage, and it blows you away how extensively that was done. But then you go into Versailles itself, and you have all these amazing things to see. And it's not like you say, well, okay, I'm going to go to a church and I'll spend an hour or 30 minutes. These are huge places that you need to devote some time to. Not only time once you get there, but time to get there and time to come back. And a little time in the middle maybe to get something to eat. So if you don't understand what that takes, you could be very, very disappointed. And I will tell you from experience, I went to Italy one time. And I went to the Accademia to see the David that was done by Michelangelo. There are several reproductions of all of Michelangelo's sculpture all throughout Rome. But if you want to see the original, then you have to go to the certain museums to do it for the most part. So I waited in line for four and a half hours. And then I wasn't able to see the Uffizi Gallery. And I wasn't able to spend a whole lot of time on the Ponte Vecchio. Had I known what I know now, I would have had VIP access. I'd have walked up to the front. Here's my ticket. I'd walk right in.
Yeah.
So that's a big difference.
That's a great point, too, because if you plan a day and then all of a sudden something that you think was going to take an hour takes 5 hours, then your plans are completely screwed. And you can't make it up if you're on a tight schedule.
No, you can't, and you're halfway around the world. Yeah, and you can't just say, well, gee, we'll stay another day. Well, where are you going to get a hotel room last minute that's going to be reasonably priced?
So
that's a big and an expensive mistake. That's why planning is so darned important. And so you ask a lot of can I, will this, you know, should I? That's what you deal with a planning with a travel advisor for, get advice. And what I don't know, and let's face it, I'm just one human. I have resources to contact and say, great, great question. Let me find that out.
Yeah. Well, if I knew you were just one human, I wouldn't have even had you on the show. I thought you were special.
Well, I do have a diverse background, as you know. But I am just one human on this planet. And a nice guy.
Okay, let me ask you another question.
Sure.
How would a person know, because there's a lot of travel agents, how would a person know to find a good one? How would they know that they found a good one? How do travel agents make their money? How do people know that they're more concerned about them having a great trip and like building a customer for life versus, clipping you for, maximum income or whatever?
Well, that's a great question. Travel agents have to go through an extensive amount of training to learn several things. You have to understand the world we live in. So you have to be a pretty good scholar of geography. Then you have to understand the popular places that people want to go and see in the main points of destination. So, you ask me, have I ever been there?
Yeah.
Have I ever been there? No, but I...
No, go ahead.
Yeah,
so
exactly.
Like, geography, elevation and stuff, it's like, Rio's at sea level and Mexico City's at 7,000 feet or something.
So all of that is not obvious to people.
Yeah. Go ahead. I'm sorry for interrupting.
No, it's fine. So then on top of that, you obviously have to become official with several organizations, the American Society of Travel Agents, the Cruise Line Industry Association, and there are several others. And to do that, it's not just paying your dues. You literally go through some training and further certification, and you're required to have so many bookings to be validated. Now, that's going to be an element of volume, let alone about quality. So obviously, you're going to have some raving clients that refer people to you. That's always the best test. You're going to want to always interview your travel consultant. I would say the same thing about a lawyer, an accountant, a financial planner. Interview them. Do you feel comfortable? Do you feel they're competent? Are they asking you the right questions? And, would you put your family's enjoyment and safety in this person's hands because they seem like they have the proper attitude and they have the proper ethic. That's intangible. There's no way to go and look at that. You just have to have an interview and have a good sense of it. The other thing is there are consortiums of travel agents that work together to get better value with each one of the hotel chains and the travel operators and the cruise lines. So, you know, I may have X number of dollars in travel, but if 500 of us get together, which we have, under Signature Travel Network, which was the very first travel agency consortium, well, now you're dealing with $7 billion worth of travel every year. So if I'm talking to a Hilton or I'm talking to a Marriott or I'm talking to a Princess Cruise Line, I'm not talking Mitch. I'm talking Mitch represented by Signature Travel Network, a travel consortium.
Okay.
I get noticed.
So yeah, clout.
Now,
you think that gives you clout.
I have clout, and that's the clout you can't get as a single buyer of a vacation. You're going to get in there, and maybe you'll get a good deal on pieces of it. Maybe you won't. And I'm not saying that if you really want to put all the love and effort into it and spend days putting this together, that you might not be able to put a good deal together. I'm not saying that at all. But why would you want to do that? Why would you want to do that? I mean, many people can change the oil in their car, but I'm guessing for $30 they would go to a place and change the oil. They don't want to get dirty. Well, I don't understand why anybody would not want to work with a travel consultant. Now, it depends on the amount of work that we do as to how we get paid. So traditionally, the travel business was we worked in introducing you to different travel sites. And those travel sites would give us a commission for referring. Those commissions are kind of gratuities. And so they're not really enough these days that it makes sense. So oftentimes, travel advisors will do a planning program, and they will charge a fee. And you'll sit down, and you'll have a comprehensive engagement of what you're going to be doing over the next 5 years. And you find that if you're going to pay a retainer to a lawyer or you're going to go to a financial planner or a retirement planner, they'll charge you the same fee so that you have an idea of where your money is going and how it's going to come back a return on your investment. So we're wonderfully trained, but we can't give that away and then find out that you're going to book a hotel on your own and you didn't compensate me for what I know. You came to me for my knowledge, but you didn't let me get compensated for that knowledge. That's not a fair proposition. So a lot of the travel people are now asking for retainers and travel planning fees. And, you know, that's perfectly okay if you think about it. I mean, there was a travel planning fee when I mentioned the New York situation, and they were thrilled because everything was all done and everything was handled. And you can only imagine the hundreds of phone calls it took to coordinate that. Somebody did a lot of work here. Somebody should be paid. Whether or not they come back and they say, oh, I'm sorry, I have a cold. I can't travel this week. But the plan's still there, so you can always re-execute down the line. So that's how travel agents get compensated.
Okay. Yeah. I think, you know, it's almost a question of ignorance because a person could, you know, get on the internet. I know, like, there's if you want to book a rental car and an airfare or something, those travel services, I forget.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what you call them exactly. But they're like, hey, do you need a car? Hey, do you need a motel? Hey, you know, where are you staying? You know, whatever, how many people, right? You need to check the bags.
Well, those online firms are called online travel agencies, but their interest is doing high volume and low quality.
Okay.
So you're having to do your own research. You're having to do all of this booking yourself.
Okay.
If you've ever booked it and then made a change, you might have noticed there was a fee for making a change. You might have noticed that when you went on an airplane, it used to be that you got a meal and you got your baggage handled. And,
oh,
you know,
I remember. Yes, it was glorious.
It was glorious. And now it's $30 per bag. It's so much for a meal. It's extra for this. Do you want to get your seat selection early? Here's the fee. Well, guess what? That's happening in the hotel world. That's happening in the travel world. And so as a person who is basically I use this metaphor, see if it works for you. You go to the Library of Congress. It's the largest library in the United States. And yep. You could go there yourself and research and find all the things you want to do, fill your head with any particular subject. Yeah. But I'll bet you the smart person would go and ask the librarian for help. And yeah. So the librarian knows how to curate the things that are on the shelf. So right. what an experienced travel advisor does, you go online and you see all of these sites offering they're the best, they're the cheapest, they're the this. None of them talk to each other, and yeah. none of them come up with the same amount of information exactly the same.
Yeah.
You wind up with a bunch of noise, and you don't know who to believe.
So
I can tell you that I will gladly, for a fee, fix any travel that you book for yourself online that you find it wasn't everything you thought it was. Oops. And some of those oopses can be very, very big. I have one friend of mine, that's all they do. Their business card is, we fix bookings you made online, and they're doing it as a full-time business. Yeah, because so many people think it's a good deal, and then they forgot the airplane lands 3 hours after the cruise ship leaves.
Wow. Yeah.
Oops.
Yeah. Well, that's so, my point. I know we're kind of getting close on our time, but it's like you might invest more money up front by having someone help you plan a quality vacation versus, you know, trying to wing it and figure it out as you go. But then you get the quality of the trip, and it's not coming out right, but...
Well, but I can tell you that there's study after study from all different forms of magazines and independent research
yeah.
that says the travel agent has access to higher quality and lower cost for travel than you would find on your own. And they provide the service and support you can't get by doing it on your own.
Okay.
And they're going to save you gobs of time. Plus, they're going to be there when something goes wrong. And invariably, something goes wrong.
Yeah, no doubt. So this is a good example. Let's just say, I'll just make this up. Okay.
Yep.
Let's say that I want to visit Western Europe, and I want to have five different cities, right? Let's say London,
right.
Paris, Madrid, Barcelona, and Geneva. Okay. So if I say, so that's what I want to do, Mitch, you take care of all of it. You get all
sure.
the reservations, the motel, the hotel, whatever, rental cars, whatever, right?
Yes.
So you would do all that and do it at the best price?
Yes.
Okay.
You
that's
know,
my question, because some people say, oh, well, no, we'll just book whatever comes up first and whatever. It's like, oh, if you just click one more button, you could have saved $500, you know.
I'm going to give you a little bit of insight. If you've been watching it all, the large online travel agencies have been buying each other. There's really only three of them left.
Yeah.
And so they're all owned by three large companies, right?
Okay.
All right. So if they're all owned by three large companies, all the smaller sites that they have really should give you the same information if you search on them.
Yeah.
So they don't.
Now, attention.
I'm going to have you, hold on 1 second here. I'm going to have you also think about this. You own a hotel. You may have a standard room, you may have a mini suite, and you may have a full suite.
Yeah.
You have three prices. Three prices.
Yeah. Yeah.
Why would you find 100 different prices on the internet for the same rooms? No hotelier is doing that. Now, here's another thing to think about. In 2008, when the internet was starting to see online travel agencies grow, we were in the middle of a very bad economic time, right?
Sure.
So people were not traveling. The hotel said, hey, online travel, you're going to fill my rooms? Sure. You fill 500 rooms a year, I'll give you a really good rate.
Okay.
Guess what? The economy is not there now. The economy is strong. The hotels don't need the online travel agencies to fill their space at the cheapest possible rate. They don't need it.
All right.
So that's one of the reasons you're finding consolidations in that world. And it's one of the reasons that the only time they're going to be selling stuff is when it's excess inventory and it's their least favorite inventory. I hear so many people saying, oh, here was a price. It was $175 a night to go to this hotel. And you would try to book it. And they go, oh, I'm so sorry. It's already taken. We have no more at that rate.
Yeah.
Or I've got another hotel that's three blocks away that'll give you that rate or better. And you don't realize that three blocks is inconvenient because it's not near a taxi or it's not near a train stop or it's not convenient to the shopping. So now every time you have to go somewhere, you're going three blocks out of your way. And if you've ever been to Manhattan, those are three long blocks.
Yeah.
So it sounds easy, but it's not. Understanding the logistics, understanding the flow of your activity is a science. And I'm not going to tell you that I get it perfect every time, but I know how to fix it when it's not right. And I have resources to help me when things go wrong. What do you do when you book a hotel and you realize the hotel has just had a fire 2 days before you're supposed to get on an airplane?
Well, I don't know.
Yeah. But I have resources to book you in alternate facilities.
Yeah, now you have a consortium of advisors and boots on the ground in 100 different countries.
Yeah, I have 90 different people in 100 different countries that are visiting facilities. They know what's going on. If there's any street closures, if festivals are going to be blocking your access to the sites you want to see. I mean, Europe is filled with festivals. Asia is filled with festivals. And sometimes you're going to say, I want to go do this in the morning and realize you can't do that because the streets are filled with 10,000 celebrants. So it isn't going to happen. So you have to do it in the afternoon. You have to do it the next day. I would know what's going on. So that's a big advantage that you're not going to find without a lot of research. Yeah, can you find it? Sure. Why on a vacation would you want to work so hard?
Yeah.
That's my question. When there's somebody like me, a professional, take that and just run
absolutely.
With it.
Yeah, absolutely. So, and another thing, too, I always say, the large print give us and the fine print take us away.
And you got it.
Sometimes we'll say, hey, look at this amazing low price, right? And you buy it, and then in the fine print it says, oh, plus our $35 a night fee for this and $100 a pocket for that, this excise tax for this, whatever. So.
Exactly right. Exactly right. And then, on top of traveling individually, there's a great deal of group travel going on. And, I want to make sure that everybody knows that it's not just traveling by yourself or three or four of your friends. If you have a group of 10 or more, then you oftentimes will get better accommodations and you can actually get private transportation. You can wind up getting a little bit of an advantage, not necessarily about price, but you can get priorities to certain types of rooms, certain accommodations, certain access to certain activities. All of those things I book for groups that are, everything from we like doing crossword puzzles, we're a singing group, we're engineers and we want to go look at architecture, we're historians and we want to go see historical sites. I book groups of people and they are seeing those things that are really keen and really important in their world and not so much the touristy stuff.
Okay. And another question, too. Oh, go ahead.
Yeah. No, I was just going to say, so they can contact me with individual travel, and I can independently do this. I also do book the standard tours and the standard cruises, but honestly, my strength is customizing things. My strength is concierge-level design, and that's what sets me apart from other folks. Plus, I love it. I really do love travel, and I want to make sure that everybody who travels has a grand time.
Yeah, I'd like to hear more about the tier pricing you were talking about.
The which pricing?
The tier. You said there are different tiers of service.
Well, there are. I mean, you have everything from what they call the general population. So I'll use hotel chains just to give you an idea. So you've got the Motel 6, and then you have the Holiday Inn, and then you may have a Marriott, and then you may have from there you might have I'm trying to go up the ranks all the way up to say a Ritz-Carlton, okay? And so you're going to find that the linen and the decor and the amenities in the hotel, the condition of the facility, will be greatly improved the higher up from everyday to premium to luxury to extreme luxury. All right? And some people are willing to pay for those extra amenities and not have to deal with hotel lobbies that are not clean, you know, and personal
like
concierge.
Just like paying for VIP access so you don't waste your time standing in line.
Exactly right. Yeah. Exactly right. I mean, some people don't mind getting off of an airplane and trying to figure out, well, how do I get into the city center? And other people want to get off of an airplane and see their name on a card because there is a driver waiting to pick them up.
And then one other thing I wanted to ask you about is one other thing I wanted to ask you about is, a ton of stuff really, but...
we can always do another session. Ken, we can always do another session, Ken, if you'd like.
Oh, definitely. Yeah, especially since we had our technical difficulties at the top of the show. We'll do that again, but what do you think about travel insurance?
I personally think that if you're going to be investing a decent amount of money, you're investing in an experience.
Okay.
We don't control weather. We don't control disease. We don't control things like fires and floods. Acts of God. Well, the acts of God would be heavy, heavy weather. But, you know, the hotel you want to go to is flooded out because of a pipe broke. It's an old facility.
Yeah.
So there's no way of controlling that. So there's also no way of controlling if you're still working, your boss calls you and says, you're not leaving town. You've got a critical project that's got to get done. You're staying in town. There's nothing that can say, oh my gosh, I don't feel good the day before you're supposed to get on the plane. And here's all this money wrapped up in a trip. I always tell people, invest in the travel protection. You're going to have a holiday, invest in peace of mind. You may never use it. But as people get older, I tell them this. Let's say that you're in Asia and you need a medical problem. You might have had a heart attack or you had indigestion and you didn't know what it was.
Yeah.
So trying to get into a medical facility is difficult. You don't know the language. You don't know the policy. And everybody says, well, I have insurance. Well, insurance, if it does cover it, will cover it on a reimbursement basis, but you're still going to have to upfront the money. Well, now let's say that you go in and you don't like this facility and you've got to get back home to your doctor. Can you imagine what an air ambulance would cost?
Yeah, $25,000.
Yeah, try $100,000, and then what about your companion? So when you buy travel protection, you have those kinds of things that you don't want to think about covering you. I had a friend of mine go visit the Colosseum in Rome, and he was zealously taking a photograph and leaning over the rail, and one of the old stones got loose under his foot.
Yeah.
He had $12,000 worth of dental surgery to fix the teeth that broke in his mouth.
Yeah. Wow.
Nobody plans to do that.
No way. I hear you, yeah. So, like, yeah. Listen, Mitch, we've gone past our time. I want to have you back on the show again for sure soon.
My
as a
pleasure.
Matter of fact. And before we say goodbye, though, please let our listeners know how the best way to get in touch with you in case they missed it on the online.
You got it. Well, my website is Crayton Travel. Crayton is spelled K-R-A-Y-T-O-N, craytontravel.com. And it's Mitch at Creighton Travel. So I welcome any emails that you have. Mitch is M-I-T-C-H at creightontravel.com. And just you can send me an email, and you can go onto the site. And on my site, I have the ability for you to learn about any destination, about cruising, river cruising, family travel, group travel. There are tabs all over the website that you can navigate. And you can always send me an email inquiry about what you see and what you like. If you want to just learn about Australia or Africa, I've got plenty of information to do that kind of research.
Yeah.
And that's where you go. And then if you go to my homepage, there is a link on the middle left side to enter into our sweepstakes. And our sweepstakes is something that we are giving away. I just want to confirm that it says win a free vacation on my website. And we're currently offering an air-inclusive five-night Canadian Rail vacation for two on the Rocky Mountaineer. Yeah, so this is a Trans-Canada, Western Canada Rail, including airfare. Yeah, and we can talk about rails as well. But if you sign up there, then you can tell me the kinds of travel that you like, and I will be on the lookout for the kinds of things that appeal to you.
Sweet. Well, I'm going to have you back on. Are you still with me, Mitch?
I am indeed. Yes, sir.
Okay. I would love to have you back on the show very soon. And one of the things I want to talk about on our next show is a culinary tour of Italy.
My pleasure.
Yeah. All right. Well, let's leave it there. And I thank you so much for your time and for sharing with us and helping out our listeners. And, you know, the big takeaway here, I'd say, Mitch, is that, you know, it's a big wide world out there, and it's best to hire a professional so you get maximum quality and the best value. And
Thank you.
Just in this short time we've talked together, I would feel very comfortable hiring you myself and helping, you know, allowing you to help me plan my vacation excursion. And I recommend that to all of our listeners.
Consider that done, Ken. And so remember, tell me where you want to go today, and I'll help you make memories and not regrets.
Awesome. All right, Mitch. Well, we'll leave it there. Thanks again for being on the show, and we'll have you back real soon. Take care.
Thanks so very much. Bye-bye now.
Bye-bye. All right, well, that's going to wrap up the show for tonight. Sorry for the technical difficulties we had earlier. Hopefully that won't happen again. You know, everything's set up to run smoothly, but sometimes if the Internet connection itself is weak, then it all just kind of crumbles. But thanks for tuning in. Thanks for listening. Hope you enjoyed the show and got a lot of value out of it. And tune in next week, the 14th. We have a very, very, very special guest. She's an absolute delight. She's a real kick in the pants. I love her to death. Her name is Elena McMillan, and she's a fascinating woman, and we're going to have a hell of a good show next week, so be sure and tune in for that. And in the meantime, I'm Ken Holloway. I want to thank you for tuning in. I'll say goodnight and take care. Bye-bye.